and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, it's critical for financial institutions to deliver real-time payments across their enterprise for all use cases and all real-time networks. To further discuss this, we're joined by Tim Rue, Vice President of Real-Time Payments at Fiserv, Dan Gonzalez, Vice President of Customer Relations at the Federal Reserve, Keith Gray, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at the Clearinghouse, and Steve Murphy, Director of Commercial Payments at Mercator Advisory Group. It's great to have you all with us today. Less than a decade ago, there was no such thing as real-time payments in the U.S. Today, we have real-time payments capabilities and networks, but real-time payments aren't broadly available to consumers and businesses. Tim, to start us off, where are we today? Where is it available, and why isn't it more broadly available?
Yeah, Rima, thanks very much. A great question. We've had pretty good growth already in real-time payments. We've come a long way. We have quite a ways to go. But no revolution happens overnight. We have about 1,200 financial institutions in the industry that have launched some form of real-time payments, right? And a lot of that is Zelle person-to-person payments. And now most of those financial institutions are looking at how they expand their real-time payments capability for consumers and businesses, and how they connect to the clearinghouse and or the FedNow networks so they can launch a whole new generation of real-time payment capabilities. For example, how do I transfer money instantly? How do companies enable real-time payouts of claims and rebates and pay gig economy workers? So there's a whole new generation of capabilities still coming. And that's why you see them, you know, leaning into getting connected to some of these new real-time networks like the Clearinghouse and FedNow.
Keith, what are your thoughts?
Tim was right on the money. You know, we have, you know, a lot of times in the banking space, I think we get overly focused on, you know, RTP and now FedNow that's coming as far as the way we define real-time payments and probably true real-time payments. There's an argument to be made for that. But from a consumer standpoint, like Tim says, especially in the P2P world, you've had consumers would say, yeah, we do that now. We do it with Venmo or we do it with Zelle or whatever it might be, right? Now, here in the U.S., 5 years ago, we launched RTP in order to provide a true real-time payments all the way from the front-end customer experience all the way to the back-end clearing and settlement. We launched, like I said, 5 years ago. We have right at 300 banks and credit unions that are offering some form of real-time payments via RTP to their customers, whether receiving and sending as well in many cases. That covers about 65% of the U.S. account base. In other words, if you're a company using the network like a Venmo, you can reach about 65% of your customer base with a real-time payment right now. And that number continues to grow every week as we add new financial institutions through technology partners like Tim and Fiserv and many others as well. The types of use cases continue to grow and evolve as well. We've seen payroll as really become a big volume driver for real-time payments, both funding your payroll on the day of the payroll. So you can, if you're a corporate, you can keep those funds in your account to the last minute. But also things like same-day payroll, work your shift, get paid today, is a growing trend across multiple industries like restaurants, as an example. We see a lot of small business and merchant payments with companies like Square and Elavon using the network to enable their merchants to move money out of their merchant account into their bank account immediately. We see tons of wallet providers. I mentioned Venmo, many others. There's a lot of gaming apps that use real-time payment to let you move money in and out of the gaming app. For instance, I can tell you right now that Sunday, February 4th will be a huge volume day for RTP because that's Super Bowl Sunday and a lot of the gaming apps. Usually it's more money moving into the app than back out of the app, but we see a lot of that kind of volume as well. We're also seeing business-to-business functionality growing as well. It's a smaller numbers, but obviously with the capabilities of RTP around not only the immediacy of the payment, but the perfect timing and the data capability, that provides just a great platform for businesses on the accounts payable, accounts receivable side. So we see those and a host of other things coming. Dan, do you have comments around that as far as FedNow and what's coming?
Sure. And thanks for that, Keith and Tim, the intro. I think one of the things that we kind of heard is that as an industry, we still have a little bit of work to do to get to what we typically refer to as ubiquity, meaning that essentially every individual or every financial institution in the country can have access to these new payment capabilities. So as we think of that, I know I heard you both say we have about 300 that are currently attached, 300 financial institutions that are currently attached to a instant payment network, directly into an instant payment network, not counting certainly the Zelle P2P activity. But as we are getting ready to launch the FedNow network this year, you know, we're really excited about the possibilities it's going to bring in connecting what we hope ultimately is every financial institution. So while we've got 300 connected to RTP today, there's still 9,000 plus financial institutions that we need to work to get connected to an instant payment scheme. So as we do that, maybe just give folks a little bit of an update on where we are on the rollout of FedNow. And I'm kind of going to use a airplane or travel analogy. So right now we're in the process of queuing everybody up. So we know how everybody always lines up to get into the airplane. They all want to be in the airplane first and they're lined up and getting ready to go. So we're in the process of actually boarding those people onto the airplane. So we've got a number of service providers, a number of financial institutions that are currently in the testing process. They're actually exchanging messages through our network in a test format to get ready to go. And we're going to continue that for the next few months to get folks ready. So once we have that airplane boarded, we'll close that door for those first organizations to get them ready, take them out onto the runway, get them taxied up, and then ultimately launch that airplane later this summer. So we're excited about what's coming and then ultimately creating that path for a seamless experience to get more and more financial institutions connected to the network. When we talk about the use cases, Keith was spot on. We expect to see the same type of use cases over the FedNow network. We'll see the payroll, we'll see those digital wallet cash outs. But one that I do want to highlight for folks is going to be the Treasury or the Bureau of Fiscal Services, who recently announced that they are participating in the FedNow pilot. And as such, that will give the opportunity for the Treasury to generate instant payments on behalf of various government agencies and put money into Americans' accounts instantly as needed. So still waiting on some of the details on exactly how the Bureau will use the service and for what type of payments, but that is an exciting development as we head towards the launch of FedNow, just knowing that the government is also going to be participating in the ability to put money into consumers' or Americans' accounts.
This is Steve. I would just add anecdotally that the awareness factor has really leapfrogged over the past several years. If you went back to 2018 and I said to my kids, I'm going to Zelle you some money for Christmas, they said, what's a Zelle? And now that's really at the tip of the tongue. Everybody knows that brand name. So I think that's moving rapidly into the B2B space as well.
Dan, I really like that analogy about the airplane. I thought that like worked really well. You know, you also mentioned instant payments and what to expect. You know, who benefits from instant payments? Is it the consumer, the business, or the financial institutions?
Yeah, Raymond, you know, that's a great point. And, you know, the reality is that all the above are going to benefit from these new capabilities. So consumers, you know, Keith highlighted some of the use cases of, you know, immediate payroll, giving folks access to their money quicker. So consumers will benefit by having better visibility into their account balances and when funds are ultimately available and usable to them. Businesses will benefit by having better control over their funds, understanding or having the ability to pay invoices in real time, taking advantage of some discounts, various opportunities to manage those funds in real time. And again, having the visibility. And then also financial institutions, as well as service providers, being able to ultimately provide these new innovative capabilities to their customers, remaining competitive, making sure that they have an option at their bank to use some of these capabilities that maybe today they're going to different apps and then have to cash out to have access to those funds, but putting that control back into the banking sector and giving their customers those abilities at the end of the day to be able to ultimately have access to the money and then better control over their finances.
Tim, what are your thoughts? Do you agree?
Yeah, everybody benefits for sure. I mean, there are benefits all the way around. The initial benefits we're seeing is for consumers because consumers, you know, don't have the big lines of credits that businesses do. So cash flow is super important, especially for getting paid. So that's why you see a lot of the real-time use cases, not just for person-to-person payments, but claim payouts and gig economy payments, because getting paid is really important. As we talk to financial institutions, and as I mentioned, we've implemented about 1,200 FIs for real time already. But if you talk to them, I mean, they're developing roadmaps for capabilities for all their customers, for consumers and businesses and small businesses, because the benefits do apply everywhere. It's just that, you know, you can't do everything at once. That's why you see a lot of focus on the consumer use cases. I predict one of the next big focus areas will be on small businesses. Small businesses also have to have a real careful eye on cash flow, and real-time payments definitely helps with cash flow. So we're seeing a big push to help small businesses with that cash flow by enabling more real-time payments capabilities for them.
How about you, Keith? Anything to add?
Yeah, I would ditto both of those. And another thing we hear from the banks that are on the network is, you know, obviously there's a huge value in being able to get paid faster or pay faster. So the immediacy is without a doubt a big deal. We call it RTP for a reason, right? Real-time payments. But we're also hearing that the visibility on both ends of the transaction and the certainty of the payment in many use cases is as big or a bigger deal in some cases than the actual immediacy of the payment, right? I know I've paid you and you know you've been paid and it's cleared and settled all the way down the line from beginning to end. And in many use cases, like a lot of those small business use cases, Tim mentioned it, that's a huge benefit as well. And the perfect timing capability of it on corporate and business type transactions as well. If I owe $1 million, I can wait till at midnight tonight. I can hold it in my account to 11:59 and then I can send it. And especially in a rising interest rate type of an economy, that becomes a huge deal as well. So we continue to hear that.
That's a really good point, and I want to pick up on that. I mean, it's not just about real time. The money gets there instantly. There's two other important features. One is it's guaranteed. It's confirmed. If you hit send and you get the confirmation, you know it's there, right? There's no question. There's no mystery. There's no checking back. But just as important is it's 7x24. Now, that's not in the name. We don't call it 7x24 payments. We call it real-time payments. But that, you know, we as consumers operate 7x24. And so if I have to wait till Monday till the payment's going to get there because what I'm trying to do is send money on a Friday evening, that's a problem, right? I mean, everything else in our digital world operates 7x24, and the legacy payment systems do not. And these new real-time payment rails do. And so 7x24, evenings and weekends, these payments work evenings and weekends, which is important.
Keith, I'm curious, how do you think financial institutions should look at leveraging multiple real-time payment networks? Is there value in supporting multiple networks? And, you know, what else is being done to help to ensure that access to instant payments becomes ubiquitous, like ACH?
Yeah, and it's a great question and a big topic of discussion these days across the industry. We're going to have two real-time payment networks. By definition, both networks speak the same language. They're both built on the same platform, ISO 20022. So I believe in time, there will be some level of ubiquity across both networks. The networks will be able to talk to each other in some form or fashion. That's the intent. Anyway, we haven't got to the point of actually doing anything. The Fed is getting live with FedNow this year, and they'll go from there. And I'm sure we'll pick up those discussions down the road. But I don't think it'll ever work exactly like ACH does, just because the nature of the networks are different. ACH works in a batch process. We send files back and forth to the Fed. So it's a very straightforward process. And a bank just connects to one ACH network. They don't have to worry about two. Well, in a real-time network, each transaction processes individually within seconds. There is no concept of a batch. So I think what's going to happen, and this is my view, I'd be interesting to hear what Dan says, but I think to get full ubiquity across the industry, what you're going to need is you're going to need to be connected to both networks, and then you're going to have some type of routing capability, like the Fiserv solution, Payment Hub solution, as an example, that will be able to route the transaction to the proper place. That way, from a customer standpoint, it will feel like you have one network across the country, but in actuality, you need some type of a routing capability while you're on both networks. Dan, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that as well.
Sure. And, you know, I think, Keith, you know, one of the things that folks are going to have to look at, and certainly financial institutions, at the, as they look at their options for instant payment networks or real-time payment networks, is, you know, what does that network do for them? What's the reach of the network? To your point, you know, having ubiquity is going to be key, but there certainly will be different ways for that to be facilitated. You mentioned the routing capabilities. So, you know, if one endpoint is on one network, that transaction would go to that rail. If it was on another, it would go to a different rail. So at the end of the day, I think it's really going to be up to the financial institutions to look at their needs and see how those can be fulfilled by either one network or the other, or to your point, both at some point. So a lot of that will be driven on the complexity of the organization, what their objectives are with real-time payments. You know, we've noted that, you know, there's more financial institutions that are directly connected to Zelle than there are what we term typically as the actual real-time payment networks, those that include the settlement, which is what RTP and the FedNow service will do. So, you know, there are these nuances, but I think at the end of the day, financial institutions will have to look at the various capabilities that are out there and make a decision on one, other, the other, or both to meet their business needs at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. The redundancy factor, there's going to be a certain amount of overlap, but there certainly won't be 100% replication. So depending upon who the banks are trying to get to on the endpoints, they have to consider both networks. So,
yeah, I mean, and this isn't a new concept in the payments world, right? Look at the card world, right? You know, you've got Visa branded cards, you got MasterCard brands, there's no interoperability there. You have, and other brands, and you have the debit network. So, you know, we as an industry have always lived in an environment where we want to take advantage of the best capabilities of the available networks, and we will.
Today, many, you know, financial institutions are enabling real-time payments by starting with the ability to receive payments. What will it take to get more FIs sending real-time payments? I'd really love to pose this question to all of you. Tim, I'll start it off with you.
Sure. You're right. I mean, many FIs have started with enabling receive of payments. That doesn't require any change to their user experience, right? They can just start getting payments and letting customers get paid faster. Once they go to origination, now they have to present some new capabilities to the user. They have to change something they already do, right? So if they have a digital payouts capability, they're going to make changes to the service that they offer the customer for digital payouts. If they're offering real-time transfers, they have to update that real-time transfers application. And that's what their roadmaps really are looking at, is like, how do I enable more of these send capabilities, a real-time bill payment capability, a real-time payables capability. So part of this is just working through the project backlog of making the changes to those applications to enable real-time. Because a real-time payment is not just a new standalone thing. A real-time payment is a new feature of a service you probably already offer.
Yeah, and maybe I'll jump in too. So, you know, I think one of the things that folks need to think about is, you know, as these networks continue to grow and develop, and certainly we launch FedNow later this year, the receiving capability is really going to be table stakes. I mean, at the end of the day, there's going to be organizations that are out there working maybe with larger financial institutions that are originating these payments. You heard Keith go through a number of the use cases that are out there today with the RTP network and the capabilities they've got in place. But at the end of the day, they're trying to put money into consumers' accounts or business accounts. And if folks are not connected, meaning financial institutions are not connected to a real-time network, they're not going to be able to provide that service and have the ability to have that money coming into their customers' account. So to me, that's Dan's opinion. It's table stakes that folks are going to have to get connected to at least receive. But I think what you're also starting to see is a lot of the technology providers, the service providers, are really starting to ramp up their capabilities to send and make it easier for those financial institutions to implement the send capability. So we know, you know, it's a little lift to start to be able to receive, but it is more challenging to implement the sending capabilities because of all the things that Tim highlighted about the interfaces and updates that need to be made. But I think what you will see is that process, as we evolve and continue to grow the networks, is that process is going to become more streamlined and a little bit easier for those downstream financial institutions to ultimately also be able to send for their customers.
You know, this is Steve. We did some research back in middle to late 2018 after RTP launched, and, you know, talked to eight of the larger financial institutions who were doing basically direct connects. And we were asking about the challenges and how they were implementing. And of course, most were doing receive first. A couple of them were doing receive and send simultaneously. But when we asked them about the challenges from a technology standpoint, they were rating it about a 5 to 6 out of 10. But the, you know, the larger concern was the communications, the internal communications, the operational procedures that had to be in place to support sending. So that was certainly a concern and something that most of the institutions now will be looking at.
Keith, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and what we've seen is, like Tim was saying, and the others, is receive is a very easy path for most FIs because companies like Fiserv can, quote, turn that on for you very easily. So phase one has always been, we want to enable our customers to get paid faster. It's a service they want. It's a service they expect. And it creates a new deposit channel into the bank. So that's kind of, Dan was referring to it. That's kind of the no-brainer part of it. And now as technology providers that most banks leverage, companies like Fiserv, the vast majority of banks rely on a technology provider for their RTP-based connectivity and services. Each of those technology providers offered receive first. Now they've all moved into or moving into different send-based applications. And send is different than receive in that there's many use cases that are send-based use cases where receive is one capability. So it's not just, you can't just flip a switch and, quote, turn on send, because it could be a small business app, it could be a treasury app, it could be a consumer app, or whatever it might be. And we see new use cases coming on board now every day. And most of those are, if they're not being driven by like a fintech working with their banking relationship, it's a technology provider that is providing a bank a service or an application that they can turn on. So we're seeing a lot of growth there. The transaction volume, which is obviously driven by a send application, is growing by about 15% a quarter now. And that's because existing use cases are getting used more and new use cases continue to come online. So that'll continue to grow.
So all of this progress rests on getting financial institutions in the game and connected. What is Fiserv doing to get financial institutions and their customers connected to and using these new networks? Tim?
Yeah, we're doing a couple things. One is we're creating solutions that are very much what we call turnkey solutions, right? Solutions that are, you can consume as a service or as infrastructure, but makes it easy to implement and turn on so that you can start processing real-time transactions. And that's certainly true for stage one of getting connected to these networks, right? The next thing is we're baking it into every other kind of processing service we have, right? So we talked about the different use cases, right? You may have a business that wants to do digital disbursements. Well, we have a digital disbursement service that we sell through financial institutions and to large businesses. And so we're baking in real time as a feature out of the gates in that. So they don't have to do a lot of thinking and heavy lifting. It's just a feature they can turn on. Transfer money, real time is now baked in as a feature they can turn on, right? Small business payments, it'll be a feature for those solutions that they can turn on. So short answer is we're baking in the support for real time and have baked in to almost all of our solutions across the board, whether they're consumer solutions or small business solutions or FI connectivity solutions or business payment solutions. Bake it in, make it easy, and let's get users happy.
And I'd like you all to take out your crystal balls and kind of look into the future a bit. What will be the next big use of real time? Dan, I'm going to start off with you.
So I don't know how good my crystal ball is, because I think we've all looked at real time payments and had some expectations that it would do A, B, or C, and it actually did, X, Y, and Z instead. So, and I know Keith and the folks at the Clearinghouse experienced a little bit of that with the launch and certainly the ramp up of RTP. But I don't know that we know exactly what use cases will be coming, but I think, and I just saw this announcement earlier this week, but one of the large technology providers just made an announcement that they've created a new platform or capability to enable what essentially is pay by bank at various merchant capabilities. So I do think down the road, the use of an instant payment or real-time payment network to facilitate those type of transactions certainly will come around. I don't know how big it'll be or, you know, how many folks will start to adopt that. But I do think there's been a lot of discussion and chatter in the industry about that capability as an alternative to some of the traditional payment methods that are used at point of sale or merchant location. So Pay by Bank is one that I think is interesting and certainly worthy of the industry to keep an eye on.
Tim?
Yeah, I'd say there's going to be a lot of next uses of real time, right? I mean, we're going to see it become ubiquitous. So it's going to be a series of capabilities that roll out. A lot of the focus has been on consumer so far. I think business will be coming. And I agree with Dan, at some point, the ability to use this in a merchant payment scenario will be coming. I think cross-border will be coming. But if I think about the next, where the next big value pop is, I go back to thinking about small business, right? Which is small businesses have these same cash flow issues. They operate, many of them operate 7x24, and they've been largely underserved. So giving them the ability to pay and especially get paid instantly more often, I think is going to be a big focus area of our industry in the next year.
Yeah, one of the things I'm hearing about is the potential for use for real-time cross-border. There's a lot of activity going on, including with RTP and EBA clearing and SWIFT. So you might start seeing some of that during the latter portion of this year.
Keith, how about you?
Tim and Steve, Dan, are all right on the money from what we're seeing happen. Another thing we're seeing is applications being developed that leverage the data capabilities of RTP, the ability to send information across the network as well as the actual payment. So think of a corporate biller being able to send a request for payment that includes not only the request, but the data associated with it, the invoice and the bill and where I want you to pay me. And that gets delivered to a small business or a consumer who can then make the decision to pay it now, pay it later, whatever. And everything feeds in and out of one accounts payable system to another accounts receivable system with nobody having to touch anything in between. So true processing without having hands in the middle to actually facilitate that processing. Everything becomes very automated. So we're seeing a lot of development around that. We're seeing a lot of development around the Pay by Bank application Dan mentioned specifically. I think you're going to see a lot of that this year. And then as we get into the end of the year, like Steve said, we're actually going to be doing cross-border payments, I think, real-time cross-border payments. So we're excited about that. A lot of people in the industry, as Steve said, are very excited about that. And I think, you know, down the road, I think what we'll be talking about are just payments. And our expectation will be, I can pay anyone anywhere, and it happens immediately, and it's completely visible on both sides. So I think that's where we're headed. It'll take us a while to get there, but time seems to pass quickly these days for me anyway.
It seems 2023 will be quite a year for real-time payments. Tim, Dan, Keith, and Steve, thank you so much for your insights and perspective. We hope to have you back on soon.